Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Casey Corcoran, thank you so much for joining The Common.
Thanks for having me.
So, Casey, you are the Senior Director of Prevention, Outreach, and Education at the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center, also known as BARC. And we want to talk with you because there have been a lot of reports recently of drink spiking at local establishments. For example, Boston Magazine reports that the Boston Police Department received 116 reports of incidents involving contaminated drinks in 2022. And that's just what's reported. So, Casey, I really want to get into this with you, but first, tell us about BARC.
At BARC, we offer a variety of services for survivors of sexual violence. We offer counseling, legal advocacy, medical advocacy, case management, and prevention services to the community. We're a free and confidential resource. We've been around for approximately 50 years, and we are here to service survivors to make sure that they get the resources that they need, and hopefully we can help them along on their healing journey.
Okay. What do we know about drink spiking? How common is it? And what are the risk factors?
This is a great question. And you made a really important point that there were 116 reported cases of drink spiking, right? So we don't actually know how many cases there are because there may be many that go unreported. We know this particularly about sexual violence. Most cases of sexual violence go unreported. And again, you're also right. This has been in the news a lot lately. But what we know is, you know, from working in this field for a long time, this isn't a new issue. This is something we've seen at BARC from the very beginning of our work. We're seeing more media attention on the issue, and we're encouraged that that might mean that there's more focus and awareness in the community and more prevention work, and importantly, more support and belief for those that have experienced this.
Is there anything about this particular wave of reports that stands out to you?
I think the numbers are alarmingly high of reported drink spiking. But again, this is not new for us. We work with survivors day in and day out, many of whom have experienced what we call substance-facilitated assault. And that's not just drink spiking, but also things like using alcohol as a tool to commit an assault. We often talk about that alcohol in itself is actually the most commonly used date rape drug.
I do want to talk about what it takes to prevent drink spiking. But first, what can people do to protect themselves from someone contaminating their drink? And I want to be clear that I ask not to put responsibility on the person who wants a cocktail, right? But because
absolutely,
this is a threat that we now have to be mindful of, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah, and what I think you're talking about are what we call risk reduction or harm reduction strategies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These are strategies that focus on, say, the potential victim changing their behaviors to try and avoid someone spiking their drink. These include things like you may have seen, like lid covers on drinks, like making sure you get your drink at the bar. They can be mm-hmm. good short-term fixes, but they really aren't the long-term solution to drink spiking or sexual assault. We need to work on changing the behaviors of the people who are spiking the drinks. They're the ones who are responsible for this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with that, you know, someone's drink could be spiked anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, we need to focus on the people who are doing the spiking. And these reports, you know, a lot of these reports are coming from people who went to a bar, you know, some sort of establishment where you would think it's safe to order a drink, right?
You would hope.
Right. You know, so as it relates to these places, what can they do to prevent drink spiking? You know, does that mean like vet their staff more or watch other patrons closer? You know, what can they do?
You know, interestingly, I was at a concert last night in a venue and I went into the bathroom and there was a large poster about drink spiking taped to the bathroom mirror. And that poster had some of these strategies. If you have a friend who you think their drink may have been spiked, you know, talking to a staff member, calling a manager, staying with them and keeping them talking, not letting them leave the venue with someone who you don't know or trust. These can be important harm reduction strategies in the moment. But what's also critically important is the work that the venues and the staff at the venues have done beforehand, before these incidents occur. So do they have good training? Do they have good policies in place? And if they do have good training and they do have good policies, how do the patrons at those establishments know that?
Casey, when someone believes their drink has been spiked, what should they do?
Well, many individuals who believe that their drink has been spiked seek out medical attention. Not all, of course. Mm-hmm. When sexual assault is present, often there's a toxicology screen and there's a medical examination. I think one of the challenges is that when a drink has been spiked, but there potentially has not been an assault, when folks go to get medical care, they insurance may not cover the toxicology screen. By the time they go, the substance may be out of their system. It presents a real challenge to figuring out what's actually going on. We need to continue to have these conversations about what's going on. We clearly do not have all the answers. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so imperative that we keep talking and we don't wait for the next big uptick in reports. We need to continue to address this.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. What about from a community standpoint? You know, I'm somebody who's just at the bar, I'm drinking a beer, and I see something shady go down, you know? How can we take care of each other in these situations?
It's so important that we look out for each other in these situations. And that's why BARC really stresses the power of active bystander intervention. An active bystander intervention is that, you know, when you're out, and you see something that doesn't seem right. You see somebody that looks uncomfortable. You get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, right? Often our bodies know before our brains can process that something's off.
Oh, yeah.
It's in that moment choosing to do something, to say something, right? And we teach what are called the 5D strategies. And some of those Ds are, you know, being direct. Some people are direct. They're going to jump right in. They're going to say, hey, what's going on here? I saw what you're doing. You're making this person uncomfortable. But we also talk about a strategy such as distracting, right? Changing the subject, coming in, saying, hey, what's up? How are you? You know, pretending like you know somebody, or delegating, going to get, you know, a bar manager or a bouncer to help out, right? It's not about asking folks to put on the cape and be the superhero. It's about each of us doing our part to make our communities safer.
From your perspective, how can we hold establishments accountable to ensure that they're maintaining a safe environment where people don't have to worry about what's in their drink?
This is an issue that goes beyond any individual establishment. Yes, establishments need to do their best, their absolute best, to help keep patrons safe while they're at their establishment. But this issue goes far beyond that. Particularly the issue of sexual violence goes far beyond it. This is bubbling up in the news now, but we're working with survivors every single day of every single year. When sexual violence or substance-facilitated assault isn't in the news, it is still occurring at alarming rates. So we need solutions for these establishments, but we also need community-based solutions where we're taking responsibility, where we're putting good policies in place, where we're putting good trainings in place, and where we're having open and honest conversations about this issue. You know, sexual violence is an issue that thrives in the darkness. The more we shine the light on it, the better we can actually address it. Many of these reported cases of drink spiking, there hasn't been necessarily sexual violence associated with it, right? Just because someone wasn't physically or sexually assaulted doesn't mean that they weren't harmed and that a crime wasn't committed, right? Real harm has been done. This is a violation of someone. And with sexual violence and domestic violence, we know that so much of it is about asserting power and control over somebody. This also seems to be about asserting power and control over somebody because they are literally incapacitating an individual.
Well, Casey, thank you so much for coming to The Common and talking with us about this. You know, we really hope that, you know, people take this conversation and carry it with them, you know, as they go out into the world and enjoy their weekends. You know, hopefully this will help some folks be safe. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on.
That's Senior Director of Prevention, Outreach, and Education at the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center, Casey Corcoran. And before we go, survivors of sexual assault can find resources with the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center at BARCC.org. That's BARCC.org. Or by calling their hotline at 800-841-8371. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please feel free to reach out to us on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it is that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Franny Monahan and Caitlin Harrop. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vikas. And it's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Darryl C. Murphy. Be safe. I'll talk to you soon.